Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Tim.
Good morning. When the life's so upside down, that didn't feel right, but it's good to have a change now and again, isn't it?
It is, and it's good to have a change in when we record this as well. We've tried three times today to record the podcast for you, and the person who was doing renovations to his house next door to you is still making renovations to his house next door to you.
Oh my goodness. I hate living next to him. He's such a nice guy, but he's just far too good at doing things in his garden. So I've already mentioned I feel very small, yeah. I've already mentioned the playhouse that he's built for his kids out of wooden pallets. And now he's doing his own patio, whereas we had somebody come in and do our patio. So I don't know. But anyway, he's a lovely guy. So all credit to him. And he's probably half my age anyway. So he's fit and healthy out there all day in the snow, -3 temperatures, non-stop patio building. Yeah. Oh my goodness. Bear Grylls, eat your heart out.
Yeah, who knows what the snow situation is going to be when you're listening to this. Of course, it's been fascinating to look out of a window and see it snow basically all day non-stop, but only in the last about half hour has it started to stick a bit. So by the time it gets to Wednesday morning, we're recording this on Tuesday, late afternoon now. By the time it comes to Wednesday morning, who knows? It might be perfectly dry. It might be snowy.
Yeah.
Minefield. But we've had a fun few days, haven't we? It just started to snow on Sunday as well during our church service at the very end of it.
So it's more forecast for this Sunday. So I don't know what it is about Sundays, but seems to be the forecast loves to have snow on Sundays. But hey, we'll see. It's going to be very cold tomorrow, Wednesday actually. Mm-hmm. -3 overnight, -4. Goodness me.
We'll have to get the Christmas carols back out on the go, won't we, at the weekend?
Yeah, I think
snow has fallen. Snow on snow. Snow on
very
snow.
Good. Very good.
It was great to look at that in the podcast a few weeks ago as well, wasn't it?
It was. We've done a lot of different things in the podcast.
We have.
It's funny how we sort of connected a bit today thinking, what should we talk about on the podcast? And I sent you a WhatsApp saying, I've been thinking about whether we should talk about sport or not. Or is that a bit too controversial? And then you WhatsApped me back saying, funny you to say that, because I was thinking the same thing. that's weird, isn't it?
Well, I think my desire to talk a bit about sport has come out of the fact that in the last week it's come up so many times in a kind of faith context, whether it's from the Super Bowl, seeing people so open about their faith during that, and of course all of the rigmarole that goes on with churches across America going Super Bowl crazy. Of course, many of them don't have the same level of restrictions as we do, so Super Bowl parties have been a popular thing. We might have to ask our resident American on during Alpha on Thursday night if he's noticed anything going on over there. But it's always fascinating to see the difference between people's public declaration and showing of faith in America compared to the UK, where it's a lot more of a private issue. We only have to think back a couple of years ago to remember Wayne Rooney when he kind of brought up his Catholic faith. And let's just say the media didn't take too kindly to it. And people didn't take too kindly to it. And it was bizarre to think that if it was somebody with a different faith or perhaps in a different country, the response would have been very different. So I first of all had that. I kind of had that mindset. And then I got thinking a bit, for whatever reason, about my time at university and how I don't know. I have no idea why my head went in this direction, but I kind of remembered the fact that I actually found it very hard to get involved with sport at a reasonable level at university because of the various things that are expected to go along with it. And I know lots of other people are able to manage marrying up the social and the sporting life of being part of a university sports team. But I actually found it very difficult, and ultimately I decided to only play social sport rather than really competitive of any particular standard whilst I was away at uni. And then the last thing was there's a new documentary that's out on Sky documenting Liverpool's winning of the Premier League last year, which, yeah, if you're a Liverpool fan, I'd heartily recommend it. If you're a fan of football, I'd say it's probably worth a watch. But even Becca, who really isn't that into football, even she said that there were some very interesting parts of it. And one of the bits that was incredibly interesting was when the Liverpool players were talking about faith, and when their manager, Jurgen Klopp, who is a very outward Christian fella, he may not always be what you'd think of a stereotypical Christian, looking like and doing and acting, but he makes no excuses for his faith and the way that faith gives him a purpose and meaning in life. And he talks about the fact that there's no reason to fear lots of things, and he shared lots of really interesting little anecdotes about his life, his upbringing, and his father especially. But one of the things that stuck out to me and to Becca was the fact that when you watch Liverpool on a football pitch, they'll often go in a couple of minutes before the other team. And the reason that they go in before the other team is to allow their players from many different nationalities and faiths to have time to pray before a game, because Liverpool made it a very clear thing that if it's important to the player, then they have to allow them to do it. For many of them, it is as important, if not more important, than all of the preparation and training that came beforehand. So I kind of had multiple different things that came up this week to do with, I guess, mainly football and faith, whether it's American football or soccer.
Proper football.
Yeah, or proper football. Yeah, call it that. I think it was probably something we just wanted to have a little chat about. Sport, and I know you've had some involvement in your previous employment.
I think it's been as a person who's watched football for longer than you've been alive, Tom. It has been fascinating just to watch how, in recent years, sort of players have worn faith on their sleeve a bit more, and I think some of that has been the influx of players from other countries, where expressing your faith is quite a normal thing to do, and actually being proud of your faith background and heritage. And I think it's been really refreshing how that has almost given other players permission to express their faith as well, not only on the pitch, perhaps with some gestures, but also in talking about it in interviews. So when I was at my previous church at Loxheath, which is on the south coast, I got to know a little bit Linvoy Primus, who played for Portsmouth when they were in the Premier League, actually. And he's a fantastic example of someone who became a Christian while he was playing, and who then was very overt in his faith, his expression of faith, and the difference that it made to him. And Portsmouth at the time had one or two Christians actually come to the club, and they used to meet before the match in the boiler room to pray. And there were some very high profile players at Portsmouth at that particular time. That was when they won the FA Cup with Kanu and players like that. And it was a very overt expression of Christianity, and In what was a tough environment, football, was a tough environment. He was able to walk a very clear pathway of, I'm a Jesus follower, and he was incredibly respected at that time, not only by the other players but by the supporters as well, and got involved in lots of things, which he continues to be. He's involved in Christians in Sport as a football ambassador, and travels around the UK speaking to football chaplains in many, many clubs have football chaplains, and also young Christian players as well. So it is a real big opportunity, and I know he's incredibly passionate about the work that he does. He was actually, brought to faith by another Christian guy, Mick Mellows, who again played for Portsmouth in the 50s, again who became a Christian, has a fantastic story. And together they started an organisation called Faith and Football, which has impacted the city of Portsmouth in amazing ways, with young people in particular. But at the heart of it is this real Christian foundation that they are very bold about and very committed to. So the fact that it has been seemingly hidden a bit for many years, I think now there's much more opportunity. And I haven't seen that documentary mentioned, but I will definitely check that out, because Was it about a year ago? One of the Liverpool players got baptised as well, and that sort of took the social media by storm.
Yeah, there's a section in the documentary about it as well, where they're kind of some of the players are sharing about their beliefs and why it spurs them on. And you know, the Liverpool's goalkeeper, he's in the media this week for not so good reasons, of course.
Yeah.
He didn't have his best ever game, but I also know that won't affect him too much because he knows where he's rooted. It's always a joy to... I follow him on Instagram, and it's always a joy to see what Bible verse he's going to post for that day. And that's to millions of people will see what he posts each day. But of course, yes, they were involved in the baptism of a number of Liverpool players who'd gone on a journey of exploring faith with a number of the Brazilian players. And yeah, the video of Roberto Firmino's baptism was so widely shared. And if you were able to join us for Ash's baptism last March, he was able to talk a bit about how that had been a bit of a prompting for him to kind of go public, as it were, with his faith. And so there is this real sense, isn't there, that these people who are high-profile celebrities, really, the impact that they can have on people is huge, and it's amazing to see people who are a kind of living out their faith. And it's interesting you talk about Linvoi Primus, because I was at a football tournament a few years ago, and a number of other people from our church were there. It was, I think it was the year that we won it as well, actually. The only year we won it. Well, we won the B competition. We can't play in the A one because we're not either good enough or FA affiliated, one or the other. I think it's probably both, actually. But we actually won the B league tournament, and we played very well, just in case anyone was wondering. But there, Linvoi Primus spoke to us on the Sunday lunchtime, and he just shared a little bit about his faith journey. And to see some of the people who didn't come to the tournament as Christians with us, you're allowed to have a number of people who aren't Christians who play with you. And I won't say any names, but there was someone in particular who was really interested by what he had to say and kind of wanted to explore a bit afterwards. So for people to see these high-profile figures, even someone like Linvoi Primus, who never made it at the very top level, he's still well-known enough to have a huge impact on people. And then the following year, Darren Moore, the former West Bromwich Albion manager, someone who he is very public with his faith. He talked, and I don't forget this, he talked a bit about how at the top level football is so much about it being a performance and people are judged by their performance. But he said that, you know, he's gone through his fair share of clubs being sacked and having to move on. And he says it just ends up being something that lots of people would take to heart. But he knows it's not a good thing when performance is poor, but he also knows where his confidence should lie and does lie. And that's what he's able to kind of fall back on. Because otherwise, if you let yourself get into this rut of my performance isn't good enough, it would be very easy to take a very different route with your life. And we've seen that with footballers.
I think that's really an important insight, isn't it, for all of us, really, whatever we're doing, is that, you know, we can be pulled down a lot because of our performance, you know, whatever that looks like, you know, whether it is on a football field or whether it's in a company, in a business, as a salesperson, even dare I say as a minister, you know, we can take to heart some of those other things that are going on around us, but it's that foundation, that root, isn't it? You know, so a footballer has a bad game, they know they've had a bad game. And how do you then recover from that? But then, the rest of us who don't play football, you know, we have times in our lives, times in our days when things are going wrong. You know, whether it's relational, financial, all sorts of ways. But it's knowing where we stand and knowing what you're rooted on. And yeah, I mean, someone like Darren Moore, I did meet him once, and I thought Linvoi Primus was pretty big and solid, but Darren Moore is a man, he's a big guy, and imagine him as a centre half playing. But yeah, what a humble guy, and it is that humility that comes out, that is driven by, you know, a real appreciation that you're loved by Jesus, you know, and that is what drives. And you know, there's many, many Christians in many sports, in many, obviously in many spheres of life, who actually understand that there's something much bigger going on in life that takes them to a deep awareness of who they really are. And you know, these top footballers, to be judged in the media, to be judged on social media, you know, we've seen what's been going on recently in terms of, you know, racist abuse to some of these footballers as well. You know, and those things, you know, they hurt. Mm. They must hurt so much. But to be rooted and grounded in something bigger than that must be an incredible sense of well-being that I think all of us can gain as well.
And it doesn't always go perfectly, you know. Famously, Nathan Jones, Stokies will know Nathan Jones. Yeah. He played for a number of teams at a lower level. But I can remember reading that he was teased a lot. I think he played at Brighton. And I think he was... I remembered reading that he was teased quite a lot for his faith because he was so open about it. And I'm sure he'll have probably faced the same abuse that I got when I was younger for my faith. You know, you're part of the God squad, you're a Bible basher, all this kind of thing. He has lots of tattoos all over his body, of course, which I don't, I should add. I won't show you to prove it, but you'll just have to take my word for it. But of course, he then got into management after his playing career, and it didn't exactly go well for him at Stoke. So he'd obviously done very well at Luton, and then he came to Stoke, and it didn't go very well. And he said that there was a lot of searching for him to do after he was sacked, because he was sort of left in this position of things had gone pretty well, and then he'd faced this real period of difficulty. And he had to search for a lot of answers, and some of them could come from his staff, some of them would come from people he trusted. But he said that he had to search for answers from God as well, because he was kind of having that vague questioning of, you know, what's going on here? Because he felt that God had been in control all that time, and then things had gone wrong. But if memory serves me correctly, I think he came away from it saying that what he realised was that Christianity had to be the bedrock for what he did. It had to be the basis for why he did things. It wasn't always the answer and reason, but it gave him this sort of grounding place, which is common across all sports people, isn't it? It's something that they can often have as their foundations. But for someone like Nathan Jones, I think it was that he was saying that being a Christian helped him a lot, because it meant that he was able to be honest with every player all the time. Mm. And that made him have public fallings out with people. It meant that sometimes players were not on in his best books. But he said that actually everything that he'd learned, all of his background and his faith, meant that he had to act in a certain way, which was different from a lot of other managers, that he had to be honest. But what that meant was that he gained respect far more than other managers may have done, because people knew that they could trust what he was doing and saying, because there was a consistency. And I think that with anyone who is a Christian and who is involved in sport, I'd hope amidst everything else, that's one thing that people can be known for. The honesty to be able to hold their hand up when they make mistakes, to be able to kind of critique themselves and others effectively. And that we're able to, for people to be able to look at us as we play sport, as we go about our daily lives, be able to look at us and sort of maybe know we're a Christian without us saying it out loud. And there's loads of people who are footballers, who are sports people, who aren't involved in sport at all, who do their jobs, who let their faith, let their outward things do the talking without having to preach to people. And I guess we know of people who do that. We know of lots of people who just get on with things, and lots of footballers do. And I guess there must be hundreds of thousands of people in the UK who are playing sport at a weekend, who for them, they just play sport. They don't preach to their teammates or anything. But then equally, there are a number who are. And I guess we see them. And as Christians, they're a wonderful role model for us. It's been great to see Olivier Giroud. I don't know if you've seen much of him recently, but he's become a very big advocate for Alpha. He got taken on an Alpha course during the first lockdown. And he's now become a bit of a brand ambassador for Alpha, which is wonderful to see. But of course, he may well have... There'll have been someone in Chelsea's team who took him on that journey without us knowing who they are. So this is what's funny, isn't it? So who took Giroud on the journey? And there's different people who are called to different roles and jobs where they're at.
And it's great, isn't it? I mean, a rugby player, Ugo Monya, as well. He's on the Alpha video and talks about, was it his physiotherapist or something who took him and encouraged him to go on Alpha. And that people can do amazing things, and it's great to know that for young people as well, you know, can look to these role models who aren't perfect and who know they're not perfect, but who actually can give confidence to young Christians in particular, who are trying to make their way in life and or maybe in sport, in all sorts of different arenas, knowing that there's people there who have done it, who have made it, who have been able to walk that line. I mean, Jesus said it's a narrow way, isn't it? You know, it's a narrow path. And that's true for all of us in every situation. But we can do it. And having the confidence to do it, knowing that there are people cheering us on, is a beautiful thing. So some of us, our sports days are over. In fact, for some of us, they never even started. Mm-hmm. In fact, when I was counting up my footwear, pairs of footwear, to 23, I have a pair that I'd forgotten all about, of AstroTurf football shoes.
Ooh.
I don't know. I think the last time I wore them was 25 years ago, but I've still got them. How about that? Just in case I'm ever called on again.
Well, we look forward to the day when we can play Wednesday night football again. And Tim, I will say, I think, even if it's just a 1 week out of retirement, I think you should come down, bring your boots down with you, and
I've got the boots.
We'll be kind to you. We'll be kind to you. I won't.
I used to referee church football games, so you know that
they are the worst kind of games. They are. Terrible. Yeah, I think I've said on the podcast, I got sent off in a church match. Once.
Yes.
Yeah. Absolute travesty. So anyway, I don't want to dwell on that.
No.
This is probably the start of a conversation that we may well come back to post Easter next week, I think, or maybe the week after. We're not quite sure yet. We're going to be looking at some different things through Lent, but I think there's more to talk about this. This is the opening, isn't it? And I'm fascinated by someone, a friend in Christ, I can say. I don't know him personally. I feel like I do sometimes, but I'm fascinated by my friend in Christ, Mr. Klopp. Because he has such amazing things to say, and the way that the gospel message comes out of him is, it's stark, it's brilliant at times, and he's a man to be looked at. So maybe you can indulge me in a few weeks' time. We can have a look at him. Yeah.
That would be great.
Lots of things to look forward to.
Thanks, Tom. It's good to talk about sport anyway, because we've avoided it for such a long time, and I think it's good because it's very much part of our culture and our society. And for whether people feel it should get the profile it does or not, it does. Yeah. And particularly for young people today, you know, you talk to any primary school kid and you ask them what they want to be, and loads and loads and loads of them want to be a footballer. Now, whether we think that's a good thing or not doesn't matter really. What we need to do is to help them to achieve what they want to achieve, but with a firm foundation. Mm-hmm. And most of them won't make it, but, you know, ambition and hope and dreams are good. But particularly for those young people who we are in touch with, we know, in our families, you know, let's encourage them, as well as that ambition, let's encourage them, you know, to find a real strong foundation to build their life on in Jesus, and to do all we can to teach and encourage them and support them in the dreams that they've got, and that they might be fulfilled in some way that honours Jesus. Brilliant. Thanks, Tom.
Well, we better leave it there so we don't go too far into the football match that's taking place right now, Tim. I can't believe that you're still on the podcast. Oh. I know. Who knows what Bournemouth will do.
By tomorrow morning, we'll know whether Bournemouth are in the quarterfinals of the FA Cup.
We'd better finish today by praying together. And as we've done every week, we are going to use the prayer from Unite 714, the offshoot of 24/7 prayer, to guide us through praying for our world and over the coronavirus pandemic. So we haven't yet opened the Bible today, even though it has been very much through our conversation. But we're going to open up the Bible now for a couple of verses from Psalm chapter 46.
The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth, He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Lord, we live in a time like the one described by the psalmist above. Nations are raging, kingdoms are tottering. Many things on which the world has depended seem to be melting away. Yet we confess you are with us. No matter how the governments of our nations and communities are shaken, our souls are fortified by the fact that we have a king and kingdom which cannot be shaken. We take comfort from the knowledge you have the power to make wars cease. With this same power, you can end the pandemic, heal our fractured nations, and revive our economies. Nothing is too difficult for you. Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne today, our weary souls have been renewed and strengthened by the reality of your power and might. In the name of your precious Son, Jesus, heal our divided nations, halt the pandemic, and help our economies to recover. We ask you to fortify the hearts of your children around the world who are suffering because of persecution and economic deprivation.
In the midst of the pandemonium and chaos around us, Lord, help us to be still and quiet on the inside. Our faith in your promise to be exalted in the nations will grow strong in the place of peace. You are with us. That is the ultimate antidote to the rising tide of anxiety and despondency washing over our world. Jesus, we quiet our souls in your presence today. From this place of peace, we ask you to exalt your name in the nations through an outpouring of the Spirit. Revive your church and bring salvation to millions of precious souls. As our fortress, drive back the tide of darkness, overwhelming our world. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
We've got an exciting message being brought to us on Sunday from the other side of the world. So don't miss that. You'll find us streaming live on YouTube. That'll be at 10:30. And other than that, keep an eye on your emails. We would love to connect in with you. There's loads of different ways you can do that. We've got Cafe Link Zooms. We've got Ezekiel Bible studies. We've got Alpha. We've got all sorts. So we can't wait to see you at one, all, whichever of them you want to be a part of, all of our additional gatherings here at NBC through this period of time. And we look forward to the day when we can meet together again. We're a week closer than we were last week to being back in the building.
Hallelujah.
We don't know what percentage of time that is, but we know that we are a week closer to being there. God bless you. Have a wonderful week until we see you again. Bye-bye.
Bye.